Of course, I must first say that states have the right and the duty, of course, to protect their citizens against threats to security and so on. But they must also ensure that countermeasures taken comply with the amount of obligations that they have also undertaken to respect. Now, with regard to the NCAs, the problem is its discriminatory nature. Of 25 countries, 24 of them are either Arab or Muslim majority countries. So there is a perception that this targets a certain ethnic, religious, or racial profile. So that is certainly inadmissible from a human rights perspective. You know, states cannot discriminate against people on the basis of, you know, religion, nationality, ethnicity, race, or descent. So this element of the program was clearly in violation of obligation not to discriminate on those grounds.
I wonder if you can tell us what impact NCERS had, not only on individuals, but also on the country.
Yes, I mean, there are many evidence, as it were, of the negative impact such programs have on the communities at large. And, of course, this also has a bearing on the success or otherwise of the program itself. Now, in this particular case, our information is that over 80,000 people were registered on this program, of which, of course, some 14,000 resulted in deportation proceedings. But there was no conviction linked to terrorism. So that in itself speaks, I think, volumes to the impact of this measure. And beyond that, when you have people who are taken out for questioning or subject to specific measures based on such considerations, where you can have a rather negative impact on their personal lives across the community as well. And then from a perspective of security and engagement with the community, that certainly is a very negative way of going about it. Of course, there are many problems with programs that try to address security threats. But one of the important things to do is to ensure that there is engagement across all communities and that all programs are certainly not discriminatory, and then they actually are based on evidence and focus on behavior and actual incidents rather than on presumed misconceptions or preconceived notions about race, ethnicity, or nationality.
And now, in your view, how significant was the decision to dismantle NCERS?
I think, you know, in the current climate of a growing, if you like, at least rhetorical level, intolerance towards certain communities gives, I think, reason to be alarmed about the prospect of such a program being renewed. So coming at this time, as it does, amid some statements from some sources that there could be renewed engagement with this program, which was abandoned a few years back, I think it's a positive thing to have it totally dismantled. So I would hope that we are now in a stronger position with regard to restarting programs that would have a clear discriminatory impact based on religion or race or ethnic profiling.
Thank you for bringing that up, because incoming U.S. President Donald Trump has spoken of wanting to ban or even track Muslims. Do you fear that there could be a reinstatement of NCERS or something like it?
Well, what I was referring to was statements made by various people's influence about their interest in renewing the program. But I think the current dismantling of it makes it at least more difficult to do so, and will give us a space for public discussion and debate on the merits or otherwise of doing that. So that I think we certainly have a breathing space, definitely, even if somebody actually wanted to restart the program. That is a very positive thing. And like I said earlier, you know, there is a worldwide rise in intolerance based on identitarian politics. And in that context, to have this sort of program dismantled sends a very positive message to everybody that we should be very careful not to violate human rights when we are fashioning programs designed to counter terrorism.
Dr. Shahid, thank you so much for speaking to us. And my final question is, of course, we're just days away from a new year starting. What hopes do you have for 2017 when it comes to people's rights to freedom of religion or belief? I mean, and whether or not they are actual quote-unquote believers.
Well, you know, 2016 hasn't been a great year by all accounts. You know, we saw the statement my colleagues and I, we issued on Human Rights Day, speak of a chilling wind blowing across the world on pushing back on human rights. So that expressed the concerns we have. But, of course, you know, we will always work. Everybody, you know, the human rights movement relies on worldwide engagement across all communities, and that strength is still there, and we will see that sort of being moved forward as we move along. I just want to also note here, in terms of the U.S. context here, the news which came from last week about the amendment to the Religious Freedom Act in the United States giving protection to humanists and atheists, actually, you know, in line with international human rights to freedom of religion, is a very positive step. So I'm hoping that we can start off the new year on a positive note, and then we can continue in that trend, and I hope to regain, if you like, some of the lost ground on human rights the past year, and make the future something to be celebrated with positive action in all quarters.